What would you do if somebody you cared about was making a big mistake? What would you do if somebody you cared about was making a big mistake? They can be difficult situations. You, of course, would want to talk with them and listen and understand, and you'd definitely pray for them. But you'd also probably feel the need to say something, even if that truth was going to be difficult for them to hear. But if you love that person deeply, if it was a close friend or even a child, and if the thing that they was doing was going to harm them, if it was a life-threatening, then out of your care, out of your concern, you would do everything you could to help them see the foolishness of the action that they were doing. You'd even beg them to change their minds. In the verses from the Bible that we're looking at this morning, we find Paul in a similar situation. A church that he loves is making a big mistake. And so he writes this letter to try and change their minds. And so far over the last few weeks, we've seen Paul the apostle defending his authority. We've seen Paul the theologian arguing for justification by faith alone. But here we see Paul, the pastor, emotionally pleading for the church to come back to the gospel. And so as we look at Paul's passionate and personal plea in verses 8 to 20 of Galatians, we realize both the severity of what the Galatian church was doing and just how deeply the apostle cares for them. So I encourage you to open a Bible, if there's one near you, to Galatians chapter 4, verses 8 to 20. Again, it's on page 126 in the Pew Bibles. And follow along as we look at these verses in more detail. God speaks to us through his word. And perhaps the Holy Spirit is going to be pleading with us this morning, because it's very easy for us to make the same mistake that the Galatians were making. And perhaps we too need to hear what Paul says. But what exactly was the mistake that the church in Galatia was making? Well, after being made children of God by faith, they were turning back to become spiritual slaves to the works of the law. Look what Paul says in verse 9. How can you want to be enslaved to them again? You see, before the Galatians had met Paul, they were enslaved, not physically, but spiritually. They were serving and worshiping idols that gave them nothing in return, because that's what idols do. They promise much, but they don't deliver. In fact, they just keep you away from the very things that you are longing for. They lure you in, take you captive, give you nothing, but just keep on taking. But when Paul preached the gospel to them, they were set free because they heard his message and received it with faith. And they came to know God, not just know about him, but know him. They knew him not just with a head knowledge, but with an experienced heart knowledge, knowing his love. But as we saw last week, in the verses just before, if you look at chapter 3, verse 26, and chapter 4, verses 5 to 7, Paul illustrates the gospel in terms of adoption into a king's household, that through faith in Jesus, our identity changes, and we go from moving from being a servant to becoming a child. But now the Galatians, having become a child, are now, with all the blessings and freedoms of an inheritance, they are now turning back to live as a slave. They have stopped trusting in Jesus alone and are putting their faith in their own righteousness, trying to justify themselves by keeping the law of Moses and by observing special days and festivals, rather than depending on the cross of Christ. And by doing so, they have become slaves again. Even though this time it is to a different master. The gospel gave them freedom from their bondage to idols. but now they've put themselves into the shackles of the works of the law. And you see, both pagan idolatry and religious legalism are both forms of slavery, in contrast to the freedom that we have in the gospel. Both promise you something, but they can't actually give it to you. Both misuse and corrupt the good things that God has given, and both keep you away from the true love of God. For example, we see both of these extremes in the parable that Jesus told of the prodigal son. There was a younger son who wanted his inheritance early and wanted nothing more to do with the father. Though he was a son, he didn't want to be a child. And he followed after the idols of wealth and partying and sex, but it left him with nothing. He ended up being a servant, having to look after pigs. Meanwhile, there is an older brother who, again, while he is a son, while he is a child with all the rights and the benefits and the relationship he can have with the father, yet he lives day to day as a servant. He has a transactional relationship with his father, thinking that he needs to earn what he gets from him. And in his own words, he works hard as a slave. But then, of course, the younger son comes back and he is made a son once more. But the younger son shows us slavery to idolatry. And the older son shows us the slavery of religious legalism, thinking that we can get something by God from doing works of the law. But imagine in that story, after the celebration of the son returning, he then joins the older brother outside and again starts to live as a servant, not to pigs, but to his father again. Again, moving from a son to a slave. How terrible that would be. But that is what is happening in this church in Galatia. That is what they are doing. They are making a huge mistake. And in verses 12 to 20, we see just how much Paul cares as he pleads with them to return to the gospel and to live once again as children and not as servants. Look with me at verse 12. He says, "Friends, I beg you, become as I am, for I also have become as you are." Paul is begging with them. He's saying, please, please come back to the gospel. And he appeals to the personal relationship that they have with each other. And he reminds them of when he planted the church and the mutual affection that they once shared. And Paul recounts the story of when he first went to Galatia. And he says that on his first missionary journey, he originally had no plans to go to Galatia at all. But then he got an illness. He got sick and somehow had to change his plans and go to Galatia to divert things. We're not exactly sure what this illness or condition was. Some people think it might have been malaria, while others, based on what he says in the next few verses, that maybe he had some kind of problem with his eyes. Whatever it was, he goes to Galatia and he preaches the gospel there. But because of his illness, the Galatians could have easily despised him, scorned him, saying, "We want nothing to do with you. Your illness is disgusting. You're difficult to care for. We don't want you here at all." But that's not what happened. They welcomed him with opening arms. They cared for his needs. They welcomed him as if he was an angel from heaven, as if it was Jesus himself, because of what he was sharing with them. They had this love for each other. But now Paul says, where's that love gone? This is what it says in verse 14. "Though my condition put you to the test, you did not scorn or despise me, but welcome me as an angel, as Christ Jesus." But then he asks in 15 and 16, where is this affection gone? Has he become their enemy because he's just telling them the truth they don't want to hear? Paul says that during his ministry among them, he became as they are. He entered into the culture of those he was trying to reach. He was one of them. He knew them, and they knew him. They were friends. They were family. But in contrast, we see that the false teachers, the Judaizers, those that were trying to enslave the Galatians under the law by teaching that justification comes by our own efforts, they had different tactics. Look at verse 17. "They make much of you, but for no good purpose. They want to exclude you from us so that you may make much of them. The false teachers came to Galatia with lots of false flattery. They pretended to be their friends. They gave them lots of compliments they didn't mean, with the purpose of shutting them out from Paul and the apostles. And with the desire to puff themselves up, they were serving their own pride and self-righteousness. Don't know if you've ever met anyone who would only ever compliment you when they themselves wanted to be complimented. Say, oh, I like your car. I'd be like, oh, really, I like your car too. Oh, well, thank you. Let me tell you all about my brand new car. Or, oh, I like your haircut. Oh, thanks, I like your hair too. Oh, well, let me just tell you about where I get my hair done. Whatever it is, they're only complimenting you because they want to receive a compliment back, or they want to show off about what they have. And that's the attitude of the false teachers in Galatia. They were trying to get approval from God by their own works. And their sense of identity came from their own accomplishments. So they needed the praise of other people. They needed that validation. So they flattered the Galatians so that they could receive the praise back. Because they were thinking as if somehow that if they got this approval from the Galatians, then God would have to approve from them too. But of course, the true gospel tells us that in Christ, God already thinks the most of us. But these false teachers were trusting in another gospel. They wanted Jesus and works. And like all who start to trust in a different gospel that has been handed down to us, the truth becomes an enemy and relationships become divided. The goal of the false teachers was to build their own pride. But Paul's goal was that Christ would be formed in them. Paul knew that in Christ he was accepted by God. He was confident in who he was as a child. So his ministry among the Galatians was purely to serve them and not himself. His love was genuine and his affection was sincere. Look at what he says in verse 19. My little children, for whom I am again in the pain of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. A pregnant mother will do whatever is necessary, endure any amount of pain to deliver her child safely into the world. And she does it out of love. In a similar way, Paul will do and say whatever he can to stop the Galatian church from turning away from the gospel. And he does it out of love. He will write letters. He will defend his authority. He will rebuke the false teachers. He will show the errors of his opponents. He will fight for the truth and the integrity of the gospel. He will argue with all his intellect and knowledge. He will persuade with all his rhetorical skills. And he will passionately plead with them. And he does it because he loves them, as a mother loves her child. And he will continue to labor for them until Christ is formed in them. Paul's goal that he worked tirelessly for throughout his whole life was not for his own benefit. He wasn't trying to make lots of miniature Pauls all across the world. He wasn't trying to list his accomplishments. He wasn't trying to make himself famous. His goal was that glory would go to Christ, and that Christ would be formed within this church of Galatia. The gospel is all about Jesus. And adding to the gospel will only ever diminish who Christ is and what he has done for us. By trying to add works of the law to the gospel, the false teachers had distorted the Galatians' view of Christ. But Paul tirelessly works to reform Christ in them, to rebuild the faith that others have deconstructed. And it can be easy for us to fall into the same mistake as the Galatians, to turn back to the things that we have left, to turn back to idols or turn back to religious legalism. So we need to ask ourselves this morning, are we living as servants or are we living as children? Have we turned back and enslaved ourselves by trusting in idols or in our own efforts? If so, then hear the apostles' plea and return to the gospel. Place your trust in Christ alone. Remember that in Christ you are known and loved by your heavenly Father. Live by the Spirit so that Christ will be formed in you. Let me lead us in a prayer as we respond to God. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that through your Son, we have been set free from slavery to sin and death. Thank you that in Christ we can know you and be known by you. Lord, we are sorry for all the times when we have turned back to the weak and worthless things of the world. In your mercy, rescue us from these chains that we have placed on ourselves and free us from our idols, our addictions, our pride, and our self-righteousness. Come, Holy Spirit, help us to know our identity as children of God, and we pray that you would powerfully be working within this church so that Christ might be formed in us. And for his glory and in his name we pray. Amen.